Hare Krishna. My gratitude to our honored chief guest, Sheriff, and his good wife, for so kindly coming this evening. I welcome all our special guests. Everyone is special guest. Thank you very much for coming. Tonight's topic has been pondered, reflected, and pursued since time immemorial. How to create unity within this world. One of the greatest powers in all fields of life is unity. But there is a fundamental problem that there are so many diversified distinctions between living beings. Everyone has their own conception of their identity, and this creates a natural conflict amongst those who look different, think different, or act different. There has always been conflict between the castes, not only in India, but all over the world. It may go by different names. There is the educational class, there is the administrative class, there is the working class, there is the class of trade and agriculture. There has always been distinctions and conflict between nationalities, between races, between religions, between generations of people's ages, between sexes, between philosophers. On practically every level of the world, there is reason for conflict. Even with a family, there's the older brother and the younger brother. That creates conflict, because everyone has their separate, independent interests. There is an example. If you throw a stone in a clear pond of water, wherever that stone falls, it will create a circle. And that circle will expand, expand, expand. If you put another stone and throw it into another part of that water, it will create another center. And from that center, more and more, the circle will get bigger and bigger. However many different places you put stones, there will be different circles, and they will all collide and create a tumultuous situation in the water. However, if you put every stone, or throw every stone, in the same place, because there is the same center, there is no conflict. How to create a center that we agree on in a world of such immense ego, competition, and diversity? This is a great challenge. Because wherever there is unity, there is great power and strength to create a peaceful situation in society. Let us examine, from a very relative, practical viewpoint, how unity creates strength. Maharaj Haribol, Bhakti Vishramba Madhava Maharaj, we are very happy that you have come. in the United States of America, on December 7th in the 1940s, which happens to be my birthday, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, which was the largest naval base in America. Most of the American Navy was destroyed by surprise. Now, before that, Churchill and England and everyone else in the European continent was begging, pleading with America to get involved in World War II, because the Germans were conquering one nation after another, after another, after another. And Hitler was teaching tremendous racism. But America did not want to get involved. That's the other side of the ocean. In fact, they were still suffering from a major depression, where practically the entire nation was in poverty. But when the bombs came to their own backyard, they realized, we have to fight this. Whether we like it or not, we are in the world war. It's not a matter of choice. It is a matter of emergency. Actually, sometimes emergencies bring people together like nothing else. Why? Because there's a higher purpose involved. At that time, every newspaper, every magazine, billboards all over America, there was one slogan: United we stand, divided we fall. It was a matter of life or death. United we stand, divided we fall. So what did the people do? Hundreds and thousands of men volunteered for the military. The ladies went into different industrial complexes to work. In fact, during the years of World War II, you will see, there were no automobiles manufactured. All the more automobile plants, all the steel plants, practically every industrial plant in America was simply working for the interest of the nation. They weren't concerned so much with their own personal private profits. They were working together, making military machinery to fight, to build battleships, to build airplanes, to build ammunition, to build, to make the uniforms of the soldiers, to provide food. Because of that unity, they won the war. That is the strength of unity. And here in India, Mahatma Gandhi, one man, he unified the nation in such an incredible way. One little old man who had a vow of ahimsa, nonviolence, what could he do to the British Empire? The British Empire at that time was the most widespread, powerful force on earth, practically. But this one small old personality had the power to unify millions and millions and millions of people and brought the British Empire to their knees. United we stand, divided we fall. These are simple examples of the strength of unity. In industry, there was a man named Henry Ford, the great-grandson of Henry Ford. Ambarish Prabhu was sitting right here just a few weeks ago giving a lecture to our audience. He revolutionized the industrial world. How? By creating unity. there were other people who were making cars or automobiles, but he created the assembly line. Now, it's a simple concept, but it was revolutionary. What is the assembly line? Where everybody is just working completely in unity with one another. Everyone is like one part of the machine working in harmony, and that was producing cars so radically fast that he became a multi-millionaire, and everyone else followed his way. Through unity, he gave great strength to the whole industrial world. In sports, recently, a person who was the most popular and famous athlete in the United States, he spoke something which was very interesting to hear. He was a basketball star. His name was Michael Jordan. Have you heard of him? Has anybody in India heard of this person, Michael Jordan? He was in a game, and there were seconds left. If he scored, and the game was tied, yes? There were seconds left till the end. And he was in a position where he could easily throw the ball, and if he made that score, he would have earned or established a world record in the history of basketball for making points in a game. And everybody was so excited because he was so close and he could now make that point. And there was only seconds remaining. And to everyone's great surprise, he passed the ball to one of his teammates who was closer to the basket, and that person made the point and they won the game. The newspapers asked him, "Why did you do that? You could have gone down in history." And he said, "I am not concerned with that. When I'm playing, I'm only concerned with the team. If you want a strong team, every team player has to think in terms of the team first and one's individual interests last. Otherwise, the team cannot be a champion team." He said, that other teammate, even though it was an easy shot for me, it was an easier shot for him. So by giving it to him, we would have more chance of winning the game. That is more important than me going down in history. That is why that team won almost every championship, world championship, in that decade. That is the strength of unity. Actually, when things are unified, they're beautiful. What makes music beautiful? Harmony. And what is harmony? Unity. It's not that the violin is playing one thing and then the flute is playing whatever they want and the drums are playing whatever they want and the guitar is playing whatever he wants and the organ is playing whatever he wants. When there's harmony, when all the voices are trying to make one voice, not that I'm heard, but we're all heard. When all the instruments are trying to combine together, unified, to make one sound, then that harmony creates such beauty. Such musical talent. In food, what makes nice taste, especially here in India, is someone who knows how to blend spices in a very unified way. Yes, Mataji? Sometimes we go to houses where people just, let's throw this in and let's throw this in. But when somebody knows, oh, this spice will complement this spice and this spice will complement, to make one flavor. then the food is delicious. It's pleasing to the heart and to the taste. Similarly, in architecture, when there's harmony, when there's balance in the design and in the structure, we understand that if you go in the next room, you'll see what's happening. When there's structural construction, every being is depending on every other being for its strength. That's unity. In a machine, if every part of the machine is not working together in harmony with every other part of the machine, there's a breakdown. And in the family, without unity between the husband and wife, then how will there be unity amongst the children? In the West, 70% divorce rate within 3 years of marriage in America. Why? And 98% of juvenile delinquency are people from divorced homes who are in prison, young people. How much destruction disunity creates, and how much power unity can give us to overcome all obstacles. Nature, within this world, although it works in such perfect harmony and unity, it is by nature, especially in this age of Kali, in the process of destroying unity. That is it is a law of nature. The law of gravity is to push everything down. Yes? What goes up must come down. Simple demonstration. Now I push it up and it goes down. Everything by nature is going in a downward motion. We have to actually fight against this law to find peace, to find sanctity, to find organization, and to find unity in this world. It is a fact. Time disintegrates everything. That is the law of nature. And in this age of Kali, which is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, as we have said before, there are so many different types of egos. And every ego thinks in terms of my own interest, my own purpose. Sociologists and psychologists have called the world today the I society, where everyone is thinking of I, me, and mine. So many different interests, so much conflict. And as our honorable sheriff has explained, so much tension. And for people to be happy, they have to be free from these tensions created by disunity. What is the meaning of yoga? Yoga means unity. What is the meaning of religion? Religion comes from the Greek word religio, which means to bind back, to be in harmony, to be in unity. Every living being has a body, has a mind, and has a consciousness. And the consciousness is the energy emanating from the soul or the Atma. So to harmonize the body, the mind, and the soul is the art of yoga. If we don't have unity within ourselves, then is it possible for us to create unity in the world around us? No. You can't give something you don't have, even if you have all good intentions. If you have no money and you see poor people and you want to help them, then you have to get a job and make money so you can help them. Otherwise, of course, you could pray for them, which is... But unless you have spiritual sanctification, there will be no potency even to your prayer. If we have unity, we can create unity. If we are in, if our mind is in conflict, if our mind is not balanced with our body and with the needs of the soul, then there is a fundamental disunity in our life. And when there's so many dysfunctional people, they may be simple people in the streets, they may be big politicians, big industrialists, but if they are not in harmony with their own consciousness, if their mind, body, and soul are not one in interest, in purpose, if they are not unified, then there's problems. There could be no real peace. There could be real no happiness. There can be no real love. That is what yoga means. Simply to unite. To unite the body with nature. That is hatha yoga. To create unity within the mind and the body. That is pranayama. To create unity with the mind and the Atma, that is Jnana. To create unity between the soul and God, that is Bhakti. That is the complete yoga system. Unity. And in that unified condition, we can actually express that natural, innate love that we have found in our own life in everything we do in the world. One such great personality was Maharaj Yudhisthira. In Mahabharata, there is a famous story. Duryodhana was such a crooked politician, and Yudhisthira was such a good politician. See, politician doesn't mean good or bad. Politician means according to your heart. Yudhisthira was a king who was Dharmaraj, who was the very embodiment of dharma, or compassion, love, and self-control. And Duryodhana was an embodiment of greed and envy and anger. So Duryodhana banished Yudhisthira and his brothers to live in the forest as hermits. He literally stole away all their property. And they had beautiful palace in Indraprastha, so much incredible wealth. He took everything away and cast them into the forest for 12 years. And to make things worse, he wanted to go there and flaunt his opulence and power just to humiliate them. But on the way, Duryodhana was caught in a fight with a Gandharva. And Duryodhana's people, Karna and others, they were defeated. They had to actually run away. At that time, one of Duryodhana's people came running to the Pandavas and said, "Help us, help us." And Bhima said, "Help them? Let them reap the results of their own sins." But Yudhisthira Maharaj said, "No, we will go and we will fight. We will give our lives to fight to protect him." "Huh? The man has cheated you. The man has humiliated you. And you want to fight for him?" Yudhisthira Maharaj said, "We are all Kurus. The Kurus are now divided into the Pandavas and the Kurus, but we were all descendants of Kuru." He said, "When we're fighting amongst ourselves, there is 100 of them and there are 5 of us. But when any outside force comes to attack any of us, then we become 105. Unity is strength. On the battlefield, every soldier is completely dependent on all of his comrades. Yes? When there's thousands of people shooting guns and bombs at you, single-handedly, what can you do? Your life, your survival is dependent on all the others around you. Yes? It's not that you look at your other comrades who are fighting along with you and think, I don't like the color of your skin, or I don't like the things you eat, or I don't like the way your eyebrow goes up and down, or I don't like the way you smell, or I don't like what your wife said to me 2 years ago. No. You understand that I need you and you need me, or we perish. That's what war is about. In the front lines, everyone is depending on everyone else. This world is a place where war is always going on. The battle of good and evil. The battle of sin and piety, of religiosity and irreligiosity, of love and sectarian hatred. We need each other. In Bombay, there are so many chapters of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the world, there is Drugs Anonymous. There is Sex Anonymous. There is Gambling Anonymous. And actually, these organizations have been very, very successful in salvaging people's lives. And what is their power? Their power is two things. One, having the association of each other. And two, learning together to depend on the power of God, which is beyond our own. The unified power of all of us coming together, we can help each other to access a power beyond our own to actually overcome these very great problems. In the Christian religion, Lord Jesus Christ has said, a house that is divided against itself is a house that cannot stand. In fact, Lord Jesus, by his own example, wanted to prove this as his last lesson to his disciples. At the last dinner that they were taking together, Lord Jesus went to each and every one of his disciples to wash their feet with his own hands and then dry them with his own cloth. And the first of them, Peter, he said, Master, I can't let you wash my feet. I am your servant. And Lord Jesus said, No, you must. I must teach all of you a lesson. If this is how I treat each of you, then how should you treat each other? Jesus washed the feet of every one of his followers and dried it with his cloth that he was wearing to teach them, if this is how I honor and respect each of you, how should you honor and respect each other? Our beloved godbrother, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, would like to tell a special story in regard to this principle. That a Christian church was having very difficult times. They were just losing members. They weren't growing. It was just going down. So they approached a very saintly person and said, can you tell us how to build the church up again? And this person replied, I cannot tell you how to build up your church, but I can tell you one thing for sure, that the Messiah has appeared as one of the members of your church. That I know for sure. But I can't tell you who it is. So when they heard that, each one of them thought that all the others could be the Messiah. So they overlooked their faults, because after all, he could be our Savior. And they respected each other, and they honored each other, and they served each other, and they loved each other, and the church grew and grew and grew and flourished, because there was such internal unity amongst them. But this is difficult, because Maya, the illusory energy, Kali, the influence of quarrel and hypocrisy, literally is terrorizing the world and shackling it to greed, ego, lust, envy, anger, and pride. It is so easy to find faults with others. We become unified when we see, despite all of our diversity, we agree on a higher principle. Our beloved Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he often used a very, very interesting technique to resolve differences in his disciples. Because even in a spiritual organization, there are different opinions. And there may still be different types of ego. And because of that, we find faults with one another. And when we find faults with one another, we offend each other. And then there's actions and reactions and actions and reactions. And one little thing could just develop into so many serious conflicts. So when he saw two people did not like each other, they were fighting, he would bring them in the room. He was the guru. And he would order one, "I want to hear the good qualities of that devotee." This is very difficult. Because you're accustomed to find faults. When you are in a fault-finding mentality, you don't see the good. He used to say that finding a fault with a spiritual person is like looking at the pod marks in the moon. The moon is generating volumes and volumes and volumes of light. So beautiful. Look at that mark in the moon. You can't see the goodness because you're not looking. So that person would have to tax his brain and find some good quality. Say, another good quality. Another good quality. And soon he was speaking so many good qualities, after some time he would think, actually, his faults are insignificant. And when they would both think about the good qualities of each other, they would realize how actually insignificant the other's faults were. Then there's unity. Unity in a higher principle. Our beloved Gurudev Srila Prabhupada taught us a very, very simple but deep message. He said, "You will show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another." He gave an example of a father who had two sons, and the sons were in conflict with each other. So the father asked the two sons to massage him. And they were both doing the best possible massage on either side to get the father's attention. But then one of them had a good idea. He reached over to the other son's side secretly and scratched his father. And then the other reached over to the other son's side and pinched the father. And the other one poked the father. And the other one... In this way, the father was suffering. And that is actually the case. The Lord, according to the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he told the sons of Prachuni Barhishat that because you have friendly and loving relationships with one another, I am very pleased and I will bestow upon you all benedictions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratapita. This is a universal principle. Whether you read the Quran or the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Bhagavad Gita, there is one God. Aham Bija Pratapita. And that one God is the father of all living entities, the mother of all living entities. We are all children. That is reality. And we must show our love for our father by how we treat our brothers and sisters. No matter how many gifts you give to your father and mother, if you punch your brother in the face, are they going to be pleased with your gifts? No. They're going to be pleased not only by the gifts, but the gifts that you offer them will be meaningful when they're offered with love. And that love is expressed by understanding the heart of the mother and the father. They love all their children. And there's nothing greater to a mother and father than seeing the children love each other. I'm a sannyasi, so I don't have children like that, but mothers and fathers, is that the truth? Which is greater pleasure to you? Winning the lottery and making a crore of rupees? If your children hate each other and fighting each other and are going to fight in the courts over what you won in the lottery? Or does it please you when you find unity and love and trust amongst those you love? That is natural. Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living beings. That is Gita. And what does Gita say a Mahatma is? A Mahatma is a person who has broad mind. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavihastini sunichaiva swapakicha pandita samadarshanaha. This is the definition of pundit, according to Gita. Pundit doesn't mean how many slokas you can recite. Pundit doesn't mean how many yajnas you could perform. A real pundit is not somebody who just dresses a certain way with a certain hairstyle, wears tilak, and can quote scriptures. A pundit is a person who sees everyone with equal vision. Pandita Samadarshana. One who sees a learned Brahmin, a simple mendicant, a street sweeper, a cow, an elephant, a dog, a chandala. One who sees them all with equal vision and treats them all with respect. That is a pundit. We see so much diversity. But how to actually find the oneness in all the diversities in this world? The United Nations have tried. They began after World War I with the League of Nations. But then there was World War II, so they made the United Nations. And still, there's so much conflict in this world. Although these various social and political efforts are necessary within society to keep order and to try to create some unity, essentially, it can only really be done on the level of truth. on the spiritual platform. If we are going to see unity in diversity, we have to understand how we are all unified. How we are all one, despite all the apparent differences. Krishna explains in Gita, Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That all living entities, wherever there is life, that is the presence of the soul. Consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the soul. Now, what is the nature of that consciousness? What is the nature of every living entity? That we are all part and parcel of the Supreme. We are all children of the same source. Janma yasha yataha. The absolute truth is from whom everything emanates. We are all spiritual. We're all part of God. We're all brothers and sisters. If your sister has a disease, do you hate your sister or you hate the disease? If the disease is there, you hate the disease, but you feel compassion, which is a symptom of love, for your sister. So yes, there are people acting in very crazy, violent, and unethical ways. But deep within their heart is the Atma, is the soul, which is pure, which is part of God, which is our brother and sister. In a person who understands the self, there can be no ego, there can be no hatred toward anyone. There can only be love. And for those who are unfortunate, there is compassion. That is knowledge of the truth. We are all part of God. And when we develop our own inner awareness of our own relationship with the Supreme, then naturally we see every living entity in connection to that relationship. That is the inner unity extending to create unity within the world. We find according to the Bhagavad Puran, the greatest power of those who are learned and realized is the power of love and the power of forgiveness. We take so many little things so seriously. We take all of our differences so seriously because we are not aware of our oneness. It is not that oneness means we are all just one homogeneous impersonal substance. Our oneness is in our common relationship with the supreme object of all love, or God, or Krishna. To realize that oneness, to understand that oneness, can create unity in diversity. The communists tried to just create oneness, one class. Yes? But all over the world they failed in so many ways. Because you can't force oneness. There are people who think differently. There are people with different natures, with different inclinations. There is unlimited diversity and variety in this world. We cannot artificially try to make everything one. But we can understand and realize within ourselves, through inner purification, how there is a oneness underlying all the variety. And to cultivate and develop that. The scripture explains when you put water in the root of the tree, every part of the tree grows. The leaves, the branches, the twigs, the flowers. And what is the root of all the trees? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. To cultivate our own inner awareness of the Supreme and understand what Krishna or what God wants of us. And to actively and dynamically live in this world, work in this world with that basic foundational experience in our heart. What was the difference between Arjuna and Duryodhana? Duryodhana was a warrior and Arjuna was a warrior. Duryodhana fought and ruled out of greed and envy. And Arjuna fought and ruled out of compassion and love. One created Dharma and the other created a Dharma. And although Duryodhana appeared for some time to prosper in his sinful ways, in the end, he crashed down and lost everything. And although the Pandavas appeared to be losing everything because they were representing and holding on to their Dharma, in the end, they gained the world. There is an inner disunity within all of our hearts. The mind is the battlefield. The dualities of life are always competing with one another. From the spiritual platform, while working in this world to do good, we must simultaneously actually realize the art of love, the art of yoga, to be united, body, mind, and soul with God. And then, whether we are business people, or students, or industrialists, or architects, or teachers, or farmers, or politicians, whatever we may be, or soldiers, we express that inner knowledge, that inner love, that inner compassion in everything we do. Is there anything that is greater needed in the world than that mentality within human beings? Technology is good, provided it's in the right hands. If it's in the wrong hands, knowledge and technology can be the most destructive force on earth. And if it's in the right hands, it can do so much good for so many people. So just creating people who can earn, just creating people who can invent, that's not going to help the world in itself. Unless people become holistic. Unless people become united with their own inner spiritual nature and act with dynamic compassion in this world on that basis. Srila Prabhupada quoted from Aesop's Fables. He said there was a father, and the father had children that were always fighting. Do you have that experience? So he gave them a very nice lesson. He took many sticks, put them together and tied them up. When they were bound together, he gave them to each son and said, I want to see you break these sticks. They were trying. They couldn't break it. That bunch of sticks. None of the sons could break a single stick. Then he untied it and took out one stick at a time, and each one of them was easily broke. United we stand, divided we fall. Our strength is in our unity. Not only as nations, not only as races, not only as families, but even within religion. And the greater the service we can do to society, the larger we expand this principle of compassion. There's nationalism. Then there's humanitarianism. That means for all human beings, but that's limited too. The greatest compassion is for every living entity, even for the animals and the fish and the birds in the sky, to see the unity we have with all of them, even our unity with the trees and the plants. We're all part of God. We can show our love for God by how we respect, how we serve, how we honor, and how we love each other. That is the greatest necessity to create a very, very deep form of real unity. And that unity, the unity of inner compassion, born of unity between the soul and God, is the greatest strength on earth. Srila Prabhupada, he had that unity. The unity of his own consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness, with Krishna.